Good afternoon, Tim.
Good afternoon, Tom. Lovely to see you again on this beautiful, beautiful day.
So lovely to see you. We're recording from our own homes for possibly the first time. Totally yes. Separate.
It feels a bit strange, but...
It does.
Yeah, it's nice. I've got a bit of a better view than at the church. I can see my garden with the newly mown lawn from the weekend.
Wow.
All ready for a bit of rain coming, I think. So that will be lovely.
Yes, our grass is... we have been watering it a lot. We sowed a new lawn a couple of months ago now. So we've been having to water it a lot. And, you know, I'm not going to diss my wife. She's wonderful. She's doing an incredible job. She's sleeping at the moment upstairs, having done a night shift last night. But it had been the first time I think she'd cut grass. And she didn't realise how difficult it is to cut grass straight after you've watered it. So we've currently ended up with a lovely churned up grass, but it's recovering very well in this beautiful weather. It's perfect weather for growing grass. So
and
we're...
a very messy lawnmower as well afterwards, I would imagine.
Yep, yeah, brand new lawnmower. We'd never had to own a lawnmower before, so the first time the lawnmower was used, it's all got lovely and gunked up. But anyway, it's fine.
This lovely weather has provided a great opportunity to sow some seeds and see them grow. I had tomato and pepper and cucumber seeds.
Wow.
Sowed them 9 days ago, and they're doing absolutely amazing already. So looking forward to it. I hate tomatoes. Have I talked about this before? Probably.
No, I was going to say, we grow
our own tomatoes, but we're going to grow them.
Well, we grow our own chilies because the homegrown chilies are fantastic. They really are so... They're just so much better than the chilies you get in a supermarket. But that's our one bit of real forage. We have all the herbs and spices as well.
Some chives and basil growing as well, by the way. So
you're making me want an omelette now.
Life is looking good.
Good. Well... Life also looked really good at the weekend, didn't it, Tim? There was so much going on.
Yes.
Not least, we found out the restart date for the Premier League, which is obviously the most important thing. but also, we had a really good weekend. It was great to be able to worship together looking at the first of our new series called The Present. And we're beginning to look at the Holy Spirit and the impact that it has on our lives today. It was great to worship together, wasn't it?
It was the birthday of the church, of course. The birthday of the church, when the Holy Spirit came and the church started. So, yeah, it was great to celebrate that. And
it's interesting that it moves around every year, though. So it's a birthday that changes when it is, which is good.
Well,
it's
that's
different.
True. Like Easter.
Yes, like Easter.
But not Christmas.
And then we had a great chat afterwards on Zoom, didn't we? There was
a good
group of us who had a cup of coffee and a natter and prayed together in groups. And it was just a really lovely time for us to come together on what was Pentecost Sunday. And
it's
today,
really good to see everybody, wasn't it?
It was so good to see everybody. And it's just wonderful to see people's faces, isn't it? And
as
we're beginning to sort of see the first glimmers of breaking out of our lockdown state... it's been lovely to sort of see one or two people from our church, whether it's people out and about in the supermarket, seeing some people's particularly impressive beards, whether on Zoom or I know, Tim, you were enamored.
When you say some people, do you mean I'm guessing.
No, that's fine. But
I didn't want any confusion.
No, you were particularly enamored with one person's beard. I'm not going to say who it is for fear of embarrassment. But I must say... you have even more reason to be jealous because I've seen that beard in person and it is just as impressive as you might think it is.
I tell you what, Tom, it made me wish that I hadn't shaved for the last 11 weeks and given it a go because I did have a beard when I was 20 years old.
Wow.
And then I shaved it off and just carried a moustache for a while. I've no idea why, but the day I got married, I had a moustache. Looking back, it looks terrible now.
I don't know why.
But I really wish I'd had a go at growing a beard again during lockdown. But I have a fear it's too late now. But
are you going for the Ian Rush approach then? Just a moustache and that's it?
going back to the 80s, eh? Wouldn't we all wish to go back to the 80s, Tom?
Well,
did Liverpool win anything in the 80s?
Oh, Tim, don't get me started. That was the last time we won anything, and we're going to do it again.
I did just want to say, moving on from football, that the easing of lockdown is brilliant. Mm. But I do want to say to everybody, please, please, please still keep safe and be very wise in terms of how things move on from here. And look after one another and your families, and we're all going to look forward to the even easing of lockdown to a state where everything's going to be looking good for everybody. But so far, it's been great, and thanks to everybody for just letting us do this sort of stuff, really.
Mm. And of course, the rules haven't changed for us in church. Churches are still in very much the same position that really there should only be two or three people who are there. And that's probably me and you, Tim, and maybe the odd other person. And that's likely to stay for a while. But I already know that some groups have been meeting up online. And I guess as the lockdown begins to ease, there's potential for people to be meeting in small groups. And I know that a friend of mine from church, was delighted to be able to go and meet up with their friend for a walk today for the first time in a couple of months. So it's great to hear these little stories. But of course, it's always nice to hear them. But we know that these things are happening without us hearing about them ourselves. So it's really, really great to be able to meet together again in very small groups.
But I think I was quite challenged this morning, actually. And it was a phrase I know this phrase so well from the Bible story, and I sung it as a kid and learnt the story as a kid. But you remember that? You remember the story of when Jesus met Zacchaeus?
Yeah.
And Zacchaeus was a bit isolated, wasn't he, really, from the rest of the crowd. He was socially distanced from everybody because they didn't like him, and he knew it because he was a tax collector and wasn't very pleasant. But there's an interesting phrase, and we all know it, but I thought it was quite poignant today, when Jesus stopped and said to him, "I'm coming to your house for tea."
Come down, Zacchaeus, down from the tree.
Oh, I don't know that version. Come down, Zacchaeus,
give the Lord his tea. You don't, do you? Oh, that's the song I
only know. Zacchaeus
child.
Was a very little man, and a very little man was he.
Yeah,
he
climbed.
But anyway,
that's the next verse of it, Tim. Have you?
Oh, is
you,
it?
Oh my goodness, have you not sung verse two?
I don't know the first bit or the second bit, obviously. But anyway, I was just captured by that Jesus. Yeah, he said, "I'm coming to your house for tea," which was lovely, really, wasn't it? Because, then, of course, there was no lockdown. There was no... But Zacchaeus, who was completely isolated from everybody else, found Jesus at his house, isn't it? And I think it was just a reminder that we are very frustrated about not being meet together in the place we call God's house, the church, the building. But, Jesus comes to our house and meets us right where we are. And I think on the back of Pentecost on Sunday as well, this sense that the Holy Spirit came on those people who were in a room. They weren't in a religious building, they weren't at the temple, they were just in a room. And this thought that the Holy Spirit comes where we are, it doesn't have to be anywhere special, it doesn't have to be in a crowd. The Holy Spirit says, "If you ask, then I will come." And wherever you are listening to us today, the Holy Spirit wants to be your gift today. He wants to pour out his love into your heart today, right where you are. And you may be feeling very alone today, and you might have been alone for a lot of weeks. And that's such a tough place to be. But I want to just say again, the Holy Spirit will come right where you are and fill you again today. So I know it's not the same as meeting face to face with other people, but it's better, really, isn't it, to know the blessing, the power, the presence of God's Spirit, just giving us that sense of warmth. There's quite a few testimonies of when the Holy Spirit comes on people and historically. And was it Charles Wesley who said, somebody well-known anyway, said, "I felt my heart strangely warmed." That was his experience of the Holy Spirit. "I felt my heart strangely warmed." And it was that sense of, I'm not alone, and God is with me, and he's filled me up again. So, anyway, just a little thought about Zacchaeus and Jesus coming to our house for more than tea and to be with us. Anyway,
that's great.
I'm getting all teary now.
Oh, well, that's something. Are we starting a new podcast then? Sunday School Choruses with Tom and Tim?
Send in your favourite Sunday School song. Yeah.
Yeah, please do. And
plenty of them.
We'll probably murder it by trying to sing it over the airwaves to you. But anyway, now, Tim, we heard at the weekend some verses from Acts chapter 2, and I wanted to just read some of them to us this morning, and then I had a little something I wanted to share that's been on my heart kind of for the last few hours. So this is Acts chapter 2, and this will be verses 1 to 11, and I'm going to read from the Message translation of the Bible. It's a modern translation of it, and hopefully the words may come alive to you as you listen this morning. So here we go, Acts chapter 2. Now when the feast of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Without warning, there was a sound like a strong wind, gale force. No one could tell where it came from. It filled the whole building. Then, like a wildfire, the Holy Spirit spread through their ranks, and they started speaking in a number of different languages as the Spirit prompted them. Now there were many Jews staying in Jerusalem just then, devout pilgrims from all over the world. And when they heard the sound, they came on the run. Then, when they heard, one after another, their own mother tongues being spoken, they were thunderstruck. They couldn't for the life of them figure out what was going on and kept saying, "Aren't these people Galilean? How come we're hearing them in our various mother tongues?" There were Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, visitors from Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, immigrants from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, and even Cretans and Arabs. They're speaking our own languages and they're describing God's mighty works. Their heads were spinning. They couldn't make head or tail of any of it. They talked back and forth, confused. "What's going on here?" And others joked, "They're drunk on cheap wine." So, Tim's smiling at me. Is that at the cheap wine?
Wine. I was wondering where cheap wine comes from, but it's a lovely.
It's a wonderful little. It's a wonderful passage, isn't it? And it would be quite amazing to see. It would be amazing to be somewhere, and this comes back to what we talked about a few weeks ago, doesn't it, with dialects and dialogues.
Yes,
when suddenly people were able to understand everything that was said.
And I think what strikes me is the phrase that as to what they were hearing as well, that they were hearing the wonders of God, you know, and actually there was a real point to this language being spoken. It wasn't just to share the news or anything. This was about declaring the wonders of God. And of course this is the antithesis of the Tower of Babel story in Genesis chapter 11, where, you know, people were so arrogant, they wanted to become like God, and they thought the way of doing that was to build a tower that reached the sky. If you can read that in Genesis 11, and it was at that moment, the writer says, God confused the languages. And here we are now, that God is bringing back to one language, declaring the wonders of God in one language. And his wonder is that we can be one people, you know, that what we were in the beginning, pre-Genesis 11, now we still can be again. And there's hope for us to actually break down those barriers, in this case of language, but more than language, of course, in this case, because it was about where people lived, where they came from, how they were brought up. It was about their backgrounds. It was about, you know, Jews and converts to Judaism, proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. You know, the picture is phenomenal here, isn't it? You know, of this one world, if you like. You know, suddenly it's just like all the corners of the world are coming together. And of course, that also precedes the great vision in Revelation, where people are coming from the East and the West, all peoples, and sitting down in the kingdom of God together. And this is such a pivotal moment, isn't it, in that ongoing story of God that is leading somewhere, that actually in that moment, in that place, when the Holy Spirit came on the people, there was a oneness and a unity that was a glimpse of what could be, and actually what the church must continue to work towards as well. That we're the people who can bring the nations together, who can bring people together, because what we do is declare the wonders of God. In Genesis 11, they were arrogant and selfish. It was all about them and their power and their might and their ability. But here, God is drawing people back around him. And of course, that Revelation picture is about the people coming together to worship together before the very throne of God. So it's such a powerful image, isn't it, Tom? And I think we know that we're still struggling with that in our world, don't we? Mm. Of being united, of being one people.
Well, I mean, Tim, that's exactly what I wanted to be able to talk for a few minutes about today. I wanted to talk a bit about what's going on in the world right now. And on this occasion, at least, I'm not talking about coronavirus. I'm not talking about the pandemic that we're going through. But over the past few days, I don't know about you or our listeners, but I found it increasingly difficult to watch the news or to go online or be involved in social media. You know, from our passage that we read today, the Pentecost festival saw Jerusalem packed with devout pilgrims from all over the world and many foreign language speakers. And, you know, this story of Pentecost shows us really clearly that God specifically wanted the good news of Jesus Christ to be for all nations, all people and all cultures. Now, if we fast forward around 2000 years to what was happening in America over the weekend and is still going on now, I'm sure for many people, and myself desperately included, it felt so separate from our lives and what we're going through right now. And in many ways, when it first began, it kind of seemed somewhat unbelievable. But over the past 24 hours or so, I think I've really began to realise that it might seem separate from our lives. It might seem like it's far away, but the reality of it is that it really isn't. And as I woke up on Tuesday morning and I possibly foolishly turned on the news, I realised what, in inverted commas, Christianity has become to so many people around the world, not least the President of the United States, that Christianity has become something of a status symbol, far removed from what we read about in Acts chapter 2. And I was so saddened to see that the people that had been at the church that he so proudly stood outside, that had been providing medical help, that had been giving out water bottles and had provided a safe haven for those who were in fear outside St. John's Church in the grounds around it, I was so saddened to see that they'd been cleared out by tear gas and rubber bullets. And actually, you know, I've said before on here, I don't cry an awful lot, but I actually broke down to tears when I read and saw what had gone on. And it got worse when I realised that all of this was for a photo opportunity. It was for an opportunity to wave a Bible in the air with the words "God is love" written on it. And I just began to feel so sick. And just a few minutes later, the phrase "God is love" seemed such a distant memory, as this same message of violence against protesters and a complete disregard for the reasons that the riots are happening in the first place was being spouted from the mouth of arguably the most powerful person on the planet. And it really, really got me thinking, you know, knowing that we were going to be discussing Pentecost today, I realised that this is the exact opposite of what we see happen at Pentecost. And the message of Jesus for every single person on our planet, regardless of colour, race, regardless of gender, ability or class, Jesus's message to us was one of peace, of love and forgiveness. Now, going back all the way to the start of our Bible in Genesis chapter 1, some of the first words that we read about humanity say this in Genesis 1:27. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. We are all created by God in his image. And as the people of God, it's more important than ever before for us to stand up and join with our brothers and sisters and clearly declare that Black Lives Matter. Now, you might be thinking that I should say at that point that all lives matter. And I guess you're partially right. Pentecost reminds us of the importance of all human beings. And Jesus models for us how God loves everybody justly. His disciples show us how we should love everyone publicly in a world of inequality. But right now, it isn't white people who are being shot in the street or suffocated for using a fake $20 bill. It isn't white people who are being fined disproportionately compared to the rest of the people in the UK re the lockdown rules. And it's definitely not white young people who are being given lower predicted grades than they should be in light of the situation we're in. Now, maybe you're thinking, well, I'm not a racist, so this doesn't really matter to me. Well, if that's the case for you, then I urge you to rethink your approach to things. And I'm reminded of a Martin Luther King quote that has stuck with me since I kind of heard it first when I was at university. And he said this: "He who accepts evil without protesting against it is really cooperating with it." And, you know, I could keep going on. I could keep saying lots more things. But honestly, the more I read and the more I think about this, the sadder I get at the lack of a response on my part to the injustices that are going on around us. So I suppose my first response to this is addressed directly to our black listeners, whether they're ministers, friends, or people from our congregation. And I really want to say to you today that I am so sorry for what has happened and is happening right now. I'm sorry for a lack of response when I, or perhaps we as Western Christians, should have done so much more. You know, at Pentecost time, we read that God's Spirit has been poured out equally to every single Christian, irrespective of who they are. And if we as Christians are truly trying to live out this Pentecost story, then we have to actively and openly challenge these racial inequities that say to someone that you're worth less than somebody else whenever and wherever we find them. This is something that happened all the way through Jesus's ministry. He broke down barriers. And we see that so clearly here in the verses from Acts chapter 2. And, you know, I think in 2020, even with the restrictions that are going on around us, I really believe that God is calling us to be his body, to be his hands, to be his feet, to be his mouth. You know, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27 says, "You are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." We need to recognise that we are all the body of Christ and that each one of us plays a vital part in its ongoing mission. So I'd urge you today to proudly declare that Black Lives Matter and let's be a people of action. I think it's simply not enough for us to just be not racist at this time. We have to be actively anti-racist. And it's this place of action that God has called us to be a part of. I suppose as a sort of closing thing, I just urge you to go away and explore this for yourself, what taking this approach might look like. Research, educate yourself, and I suppose this message of Pentecost really speaks to me that I need to not be afraid to stand up to injustices that I see around me. The way that the disciples spoke with people of all ethnicities from all the corners of the earth, they didn't speak to them in different ways. They didn't have one message for one and one message for another. Sure, they gave individualized things, but their message was consistent of one of love, of hope, of peace, and of absolute forgiveness that is given by God.
Well, thanks, Tom. That was great to hear from you. And I know very heartfelt words that you spoke, that you took your time to put together and prepare for us as well. And thank you for the challenge of all that you've had to say. And I think for me, that it brought to light how important it is for the church and for us as the church to be positive. That quote from Martin Luther King, you know, we can't just stand around and do nothing. We've got to do something. And I think one of the frustrations for me in my long life in the church has been that people tend to know what we're against, but sadly not always know what we're for. And we've spent a lot of time defending certain things, whereas perhaps, you know, we're at a time where we need to be standing with. And we do to a certain extent. I'm not saying we don't do anything. Of course we do. And I know many, many people support, encourage, but just aware that this is time for us to be people of action. And how the Pentecost story, you know, it culminated in Peter standing up, didn't it, and telling the story of Jesus, which was one of inclusion and welcome and all people and all those really positive things that we know that actually the world needs to know as well, and how important it is for us to be doubling our efforts to speak out about this great message of Jesus in its entirety, that is about, you know, the fact that there's a place and a welcome for all people. So thanks, Tom. That's very moving what you had to share, and I know that they were words that have been on your heart for many a time as well. And just coming, yeah, and just thinking about Micah as well, isn't it? You know, that what does the Lord require of us? You know, and it is to promote justice. The Old Testament talks about being a voice for the voiceless. You know, it talks about standing in the gap. It talks about all that positive thing to do with justice. And you know, we need to be on the front foot again. And this is another reminder of how important it is for the church to speak out boldly for justice for all people. So thanks, mate. That was really, really moving and very helpful. Thank you.
And of course, that's just the start. I'd love to spend, you could spend hours talking about this and looking at things, but this is just the start. This is a short podcast that's designed to promote discussion and conversation, and we hope that it does that. We hope that you may engage with us, but by all means, please feel free to come back to me. You can email me, you can contact us through the website, and you can, please, just like I said, feel free to get in touch with me if this is something that it matters to you as well, or if you have questions. I can't promise to answer them because I myself am only really beginning to understand bits of this. In the last few days, it's been something I've been somewhat oblivious to, I think, and I feel awful for that being the case. But it is something that I think we're only going to see more impact of as time goes on. We're already seeing the devastating impact that the pandemic is having, and the fact that it really is disproportionate. And we just, it's a constantly evolving landscape that we're a part of. And I guess, yeah, like I said, we're only going to see more instances where injustice comes along. And I think as a people of God, as a church, as Christians, we need to respond correctly. We need to know how to respond. We need to respond with love. We need to respond as Jesus would want us to. Lose the selfishness. Let's get back to doing what Jesus calls us to do.
I think that's a good place for us to conclude our thoughts, Tom. You've given us plenty to think about, and it's good that we can do that today and of all days, and continue to be engaged in it. I'd like to just finish with some time of prayer, and one of the verses that has been used a lot during this coronavirus period, but of course it expands way beyond that, is 2 Chronicles 7:14. And there's been a prayer movement geared around this, of praying this particular prayer as a reminder. And 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land." It's an incredible prayer. And healing our land is not just about COVID-19. It is about all that is broken and damaged and fractured in our society, the relationships that have gone wrong, our own personal part in that, and the sin that easily entangles us as well. And maybe for some of those listening, this period of lockdown and change has created additional challenges in terms of temptation, in terms of disengagement with God. And actually, can I encourage each of us to engage more fully with God now as we move further into this situation as well? It's easy for temptations to hit us during this time, and easy for us to succumb to them as well. And we need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, keep praying to God, the Father of all mankind, and to humble ourselves, to seek his face, to turn from our wicked ways, and to allow God to speak into this situation. So let me pray. So Heavenly Father, the day of Pentecost was celebrated on Sunday around the world, the birth of the church, your plan and purpose to redeem your world, to see your kingdom come and your will be done. We're thankful for everything you've done so far, and today we are asking you for a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit that will sweep over the entire world. We stand united with millions of Christians from every nation representing every part of your church. we cry out with one voice, in the name of your Son Jesus, revive your church, heal our land, and empower your church to boldly proclaim the gospel, to fight for justice, to speak for those who have no voices, to stand in the gap for those who feel marginalized today. Heavenly Father, your word says that when your church becomes one, the world will know you sent your Son. And so, as a living mosaic of the world's tribes, tongues, and nations, we unite today around this simple request. In the name of Jesus, unite your church so the world will know that you sent your Son Jesus. Today, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to fully eradicate COVID-19 from the earth, restore all that's been devastated by this pandemic, restore relationships across generations, across the nations. We thank you, God, for an outpouring of your Spirit in the nations of the world. We pray and believe in the name above every name, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, Tim. And, thank you.
Thanks to everyone for listening. Do keep in touch and do keep praying for one another, and pray that God will continue to do new things in us and through us. And don't forget to invite the Holy Spirit to come and be at home with you and to take up residence in your life as well. God bless you all.
God bless you.
Thank you.
And see you soon. Bye.